104.5 The Zone, 916 The Wake Up Zone. It's powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mark Howard and Wayne Bishop alongside our producer, Jonathan Schaefer. I'm Kevin Ingram. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Voice of the Commodores, Joe Fisher. See what's going on with Joe. Right now we're joined by West Virginia University sideline reporter Jed Drenning. Talk a little bit about the Titans sixth-round draft pick, David Long. Jed, how you doing this morning?
I can't complain, you guys. How are you doing?
We're doing just fine. How could you see David maybe contributing early on with the Titans, whether it's a linebacker or on special teams?
Well, you start with David. The first word that comes to mind is production. He made plays all over the football field, consistently did so for the entirety of his 3 years at West Virginia. You're talking about a kid in his last 20 games had 34.5 tackles for loss. I mean, that's just what he was. And when you look at how the game has shifted, a lot's been made of the fact that, and you've even heard coaches talk about this. 10 years ago, the linebackers were 6'4", 240, 6'4", 250. The game's changed, and the position at linebacker has changed with them. You're having these smaller guys who can occupy space both in the box plus on the perimeter. David brings that skill set with him. I remember watching his tape when he was coming out of Winston Woods High School in the Cincinnati area. Even when he was a linebacker, he played like an incredibly physical safety. And that's what you guys are getting. And you talked about the special team side of things. Obviously, when you're looking at a situation where you have Mike Vrabel and Dean Pease, an odd front defense, the benefits to that, you occupy your roster with a lot of those second and third level body types that can help you on your coverage units and your special teams. I think David Long fits that category as well, and I can see him contributing there for you too.
You feel like a lot of it was his size that kept him from going higher than the sixth round?
Absolutely. His greatest strength is also his greatest liability in terms of what's held against him. That's what puts the chip on his shoulder. There's no doubt about it. The fact that he's been undersized most of his life, and he's had to hear about that. He wasn't an incredibly highly recruited kid coming out of high school. I think he had a 3-star rating. Again, that size has been held against him in times that it really shouldn't. He's a football player at the most important time, and that's between the lines, when you throw the tape on, and you watch the types of things that he's capable of. He makes plays. It doesn't matter, irrespective of who West Virginia is facing, he's going to be the guy that's making plays. It doesn't matter if it's Dalton Risner for Kansas State. You'll watch the tape against Kansas State. Dalton Risner, second-round pick for the Broncos, an incredibly talented tackle that's going to play in this league for a long time. Watch David out-leverage him and make a play on a key third down. That Oklahoma offensive line produced all that NFL talent. David was making plays against those guys. His size doesn't work against him. It actually might be an attribute in the way that he plays his game. Gil Sayers, the Hall of Fame running back, is the guy who said, give me 18 inches of daylight, that's all I need. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when I hear that quote, I think of the style David brings to the table defensively. And again, Blaine, you get this. You see how the game's changed and how these guys who are asked to be these hybrid-type players, a year ago it was Kaiser White for West Virginia. Kaiser White was our spur safety in our odd-stack defense. He was about 6'1", 216. The Chargers drafted him, and he ends up starting at linebacker in large measure because when you talk about the NFL, you're not talking about a league that's played about 70% of the time in a sub-package. So guys with that 5'10", 5'11 mold like David can now play the game at a high level.
Jed Drenning is our guest. He's the sideline reporter for West Virginia.
Yeah, Jed, man, I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on what is the fan base think of its program. Are they getting to the level where they feel like they should, you know, get over that hump and maybe win the Big 12 and then, move into the Final Four, kind of like Oklahoma? Or are they content kind of where they're at, or are they frustrated?
Well, I tell you what, if you ask the right fans or the wrong fans, depending on how you're looking at it, they do think we should be Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Anybody would like to be Oklahoma, right? But right. You don't just get out of bed one day and that happens. We're obviously in a time of transition. Coach Holgorsen just left town. We brought in Neil Brown. We couldn't be more excited about how it's played out. Now, tip of the cap to Dana. Big Orange Bowl win for us, had a 10-win season in the Big 12, but now he's moved on. We're incredibly excited about the proposition of having Neil Brown in town to see what a guy who won 31 games in 3 years at Troy State can do in the Big 12 landscape. He's coached in the Big 12. He understands the style of play in the Big 12. It's a different animal. And he has said, look, we're going to succeed. I can't tell you when. I can just tell you we are. And when asked why he thinks that, he's like, well, let's start with this. West Virginia is one of the winningest programs, a top 15 program in terms of all-time wins. That doesn't happen by accident. You have the support structure in place around the program to help you win games. And secondly, from a regional standpoint, we can go out on the recruiting trail within 5-6 hours scope of Morgantown and offer a brand of football that the ACC and Big Ten teams we're competing against or recruiting against can't offer. We're not recruiting against other Big 12 teams in this mid-Atlantic region of the country. We're recruiting against those conferences. So if that brand of football, that style, very different style of football appeals to you, you can offer these kids an opportunity to be within a handful of hours of home and play the Oklahomas and Texases and Oklahoma States of the world every year. And I think that can resonate in a lot of living rooms.
Mm. What do you think Will Greer will do in the National Football League?
I think Will fell into a very nice situation. I really do. When you look at, first of all, he's a Charlotte kid, and you know better than most that can work for you or against you, right?
Right.
And people talk about the hometown advantage. Well, also there's the hometown distractions, right? So you're going to be people hitting you up for tickets, free this, free that. So if you can overcome that, when you look at the football side of the situation, Norv Turner is going to put him in some good situations to succeed. He's going to be in a situation where he can sit behind Cam Newton and learn. Now, the question is, after Cam's Pro Bowl season, or after Cam's MVP season, I have to say, he's had a couple surgeries, really hasn't been himself. So the question is, what's going to happen with Cam Newton's career moving forward? Can he overcome those injuries and return to his former playing style? Or is that not going to happen? Meanwhile, Will Greer comes into town with an opportunity to learn behind Cam Newton, and Will checks all the boxes. I think what's going to happen, he's going to step in there, he'll win the locker room over, he's a great kid. They'll be picking up what he's putting down. There's nothing not to like about him. He's a very charismatic kid, a soft-spoken leader. But once again, he'll sit behind Cam, learn how to play the game, learn it from a guy like Norv Turner, and I think he's going to be in this league for a long time.
Why did Jed, why did Holgorsen leave? Was it just a money thing? Was it a facilities thing? What do you think?
It was one of those strange situations that it reminds me of the old Seinfeld episode where they talk about the mutual breakup.
Yes.
And the girl goes, come on, you're lying. There's no such thing as a mutual breakup. Well, this might have been one of those rare circumstances in which both sides saw benefit in it. Okay. Dana was coming up on a season in which he'd lost a ton of talent. We just talked about Will. We're talking about David. Look at all the talent that the Mountaineers lost to the NFL draft. It was going to be a tough year, irrespective of who was coaching. Okay. And he had an opportunity for $20 million guaranteed dollars in Houston. That wasn't on the table in Morgantown. So you can't blame Dana for taking that opportunity. And you also can't blame West Virginia for saying, look, win your way out of this thing. You know, win your way into a new contract and we'll see what happens. Well, they parted ways. They were excited about the fact that Neil was still available. And he filled that role. But when you look at what Dana did here, I think Dana did a lot of good things for the program. He transitioned us out of the Big East into the Big 12. We talked about the 10-win season. We talked about the Orange Bowl win over Clemson. But Dana felt, obviously, it was time for a change. I think in some measure the university felt that way as well. They parted ways, but I can see both sides benefiting from this because it's not just lip service to say. We're incredibly excited about what Neil Brown brings to the table. He checks every single one of those boxes that you would hope to find in a candidate as your head coach.
Speaking of Jed Drenning, who is a sideline reporter for West Virginia football, were you surprised that Sills wasn't drafted?
Yeah, I kind of was. I mean, I understand that down at the Senior Bowl, David struggled a little bit when he had hands on him against press coverage. But I can't reconcile that with the fact that even for a guy who just played the position full time for a couple years, he's obviously a converted quarterback. Lots have made of that story. He's been bought in as a receiver for just 2 years. And in those 2 years, he led the nation in touchdown catches with 33. I mean, he became such a weapon for us in the red zone in particular. He was a master of that slant fade option, and that was all predicated on footwork and pouring himself into being the best possible technician that he could. So if, in fact, what happened at the Senior Bowl was held against him to the extent that he actually wasn't drafted as a result of it, that really surprises me because, yes, he's only played the receiver position for a couple years. He might be a bit of a project, but for a team like the Bills willing to invest in him and give him the time for some NFL coaching and see if he can take his game to the next level, I do really think that the term upside is used far too often when you talk about these prospects. It's an overused, hackneyed term. But with a kid like David Sills, who's only been a full-time receiver for 2 seasons at the college level, I think upside is the term to use, and there's a lot of it left on the table with him in the NFL.
Jed, great stuff. Thank you for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. We appreciate it, too. Thank you.
Okay, have a good day. He's the West Virginia football sideline reporter, Jed Drenning, talking first and foremost about the Titans sixth-round pick, David Long, the inside linebacker.
Very good.
Yes. Mm-hmm.